We serve a good God. We serve a good God. First thing, I want to just give honor and all glory and praise to God this morning, just for another day. Amen. Another day is another opportunity for us to do some good in the world. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10, says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But if we don't have another day, we don't have another opportunity. Amen. So I look at every day as another opportunity to do some good in the world, not to complain about the world and all the problems that's going on in the world. But what can I do good to help somebody today? Amen, somebody. So I just want to thank God for another day. And I want to thank God for the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Amen. And all those who may be watching right now, we're just grateful to have you. And if it's your first time visiting here on Facebook or on Zoom or how we doing it at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, I want you to come back so you can hear the man of God here. My name is Brother Vincent McKinney. I'm the minister at the North Fort Bend Church of Christ, and I'll be speaking today, honor and a privilege. But I want you to hear Brother Gary Smith, the minister at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, a humble brother, was instrumental in the development of my preaching. He was patient with me. Not only he was patient, but he demanded that you give everything that you had, that if you're going to do it, that you take it seriously. And I'm so grateful for Brother Gary Smith. So if it's your first time, make sure you come back so you can hear the man of God that serves here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I'm just so happy to be here. I don't want to start naming names, but I just want to thank everybody here. I got baptized here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, July 15, 2012. Brother Barry Gibson baptized me, ended up baptizing my mother here, my brother, my niece, my nephew. And now I'm the minister at the North Fort Bend Church of Christ. I baptized my sister, her fiance, her great niece. So God has just been good. God has just been good. And this congregation, I just thank God for it. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 8, Paul said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you. He told the church at Rome that he thanks God for them. He said, you know, their faith was known throughout the whole world. And everywhere I go, people know about Fifth Ward Church of Christ or Stonewall in Waco. Some of them call it Stonewall in Waco Church of Christ. But I just want to personally say, I thank God for you. I don't know if we do that enough. Paul did not just thank God for him. He wrote him a letter and he told them, I thank God for you. He told Timothy, I thank God for you making mention of you in my prayers. Is it all right to tell the brother that I thank God for you? Is it all right to tell the church that we thank God for one another? Is that okay? He said, I thank God for you making mention of you in my prayers. He didn't only go to God and say, thank you, God. He let him know, brother, I thank God for you. Sister, I thank God for you. I thank God for y'all. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. All those that are visiting, we hope, trust, and pray that you hear a word from the Lord that will touch your heart in such a way to make you want to know more about what God expects from us. Mm-hmm. And make no mistake about it, there is an expectation of growth. Yeah. Yeah. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he said, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So because we're baptized into the body of Christ, we're not through yet. Amen. There is an expectation to grow. We all have room to grow. Amen. So we just hope, trust, and pray that you hear word from the Lord. Now, how do we know that it's a word from the Lord? Because we're going to say what the Bible says. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instructions in righteousness. God has given us his instructions into his righteousness. So righteousness is not what seems right to me. Righteousness is not what seems right to you. The Bible says, Proverbs 14 and 12, there's a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So righteousness is what God says it is. Amen. And he's given us his word to guide us into his righteousness. Amen, somebody. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 7, 8, and 9. Thank the brother for the prayers and those who are reading the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse, I'm going to read verses 7, 8, and 9. Now, I'm coming out of the ESV translation. And if you have the King James, it's okay. If you have the NIV, if you have the NSAB, it's okay. What I'm going to do with all the God-given ability, I'm going to try to make it as plain as possible. Amen. So that we all can observe, interpret, and apply it to our life. Amen. So whether you have the NIV, whether you have the King James, I'm coming out of the ESV, what I'm going to do, everything to make it as plain as possible. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, 8, and 9. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. The title of the sermon today is Spiritual Training for Spiritual Transformation. Spiritual training for spiritual transformation. Paul wanted Timothy to understand the significance in spiritual training for godliness. He wanted Timothy to understand the great benefit, the great value in spiritually training for godliness. Because when we understand it, it changes our approach towards it. When we understand it, it changes our perspective. It changes how we go after it, how we deal with it. So he wants him to understand it. So he uses someone who trains his body physically, who exercises physically. And he talks about there is value in that and it's benefit in that. But he wanted him to understand that in godly training, it's value in every way. It doesn't even compare. It's great benefit, great value in spiritual training for godliness. He wants him to understand it. Because when he understand, I change my approach towards it. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 34, Psalm 119, verse 34, he said, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Yeah. It's not that he didn't have the law. He had the law. He wanted some understanding to keep it with his whole heart. Amen. It's one thing when we obey, and obedience is godliness. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But Brother Gary, it's another thing when we're pursuing after something, yeah, when we're searching for it, when we pressing on. Would Paul say, brother, and I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth to those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's another thing when we press in for it. And so he wants Timothy to understand this. I want you to understand the value in spiritual training for godliness so he can change his approach, so he can pursue it, so he can seek after it, so he can press on. Amen, somebody. And it's not just for Timothy. It's for all of us. Listen what he says now in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. God's grace is solely based on his love for us. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. Amen, somebody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. God has shown his love toward us while that we are yet sinners. Christ died for us. Amen. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved by wrath through him. God has love for us, but he also has a wrath. Amen. So we want to be obedient to the word of God. Baptized into Christ. Amen. Jesus told the disciples, he said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we want to be baptized into Christ, washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I heard it saying when I came into the body of Christ, said, Vincent, you cannot save someone who won't participate in their own salvation. That's what they used to say. Who won't even be baptized. And that's what they say. They won't even, you know, at least obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ. The salvation is a free gift. It's because of his love. And they won't even participate in their own salvation. But you know what? It's something else. It's something else. It's also a shame. Those in the body of Christ who won't even participate in their own transformation. So we in the body of Christ. Now, if we want to be fully transformed into all what God would have us to be, then we need to be fully invested, fully engaged in spiritual training for godliness. Listen what he says in verse 12. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So now also now we all got to partake in this training so that my behavior can come in line to what God would have me to be. I got to be training, constantly training so that I can live how he want me to live. So I can practice some self-control. Amen, somebody. We all need to participate in spiritual training for God. And he wanted him to get, man, Paul was teaching for the under. He uses that analogy of a man training so he can get it. You know, Brother Gary, if more of us would preach to get the understanding for people to, instead of preaching to be seen, that are preaching to show. It's so many preachers I'm looking now, preaching to be. Paul is now teaching and preaching. He wants them to get it. I know he wants them to get it because he's using these metaphors and these analogies and he's using these comparisons because I want you to get it. Listen what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Listen what he says. He says, now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honorable use and some of dishonorable. He wants him to get, he's trying to do this now because I want him to see it. He wants him to see it. Verse 30, 21. Therefore, if anyone, so this is not just talking to Timothy now. If anyone cleanse himself from what is dishonorable, he will be, not maybe, not might be, but he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart, holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. He will be. Are we baptized into Christ, have our salvation, ready to go to heaven, but do we want to be a vessel of good use? Do we want to be transformed into a vessel of good use? Because if we want to be transformed, we need to be fully invested in spiritual training for godliness. He said if he would cleanse himself, it's the onus is on us. Now we need to do something. Do I want to be a vessel of good use or I'm just sitting back waiting to go to heaven? Or do I want to be a vessel of good use? He said it's honorable. And he said you'll be ready. You know, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Isn't that what they say? You stay ready, you don't have to get ready. I like to watch the boxing match, Brother Raymond. I like to watch boxing sometime. And they'll build up a fight, man. These promoters are good. They build up a fight. And as you get closer and closer to the fight, every now and again, it'll be a breaking news. One of the opponents dropped out. He can't go. Sometimes they cancel the fight. But sometimes the promoters get on the phone. And they start calling and calling and calling different promoters. And some trainers say, you know what? My man, he ready to go. He been training. He ready on short notice. 2 weeks, some of them 2 week notice. He ready to go and come in there. And I done seen him win the fight and win the championship because he ready to go. Are we ready to go? If we always training for godliness, we ready. Whenever he call on me, I'm ready. And it's honorable. And he said, for every good, not just preaching, not just teaching, do we look at the work of the Lord as honorable? When they say, brothers, I need you to serve the table in the house of the Lord, it's honorable. When they say, brothers, I need you to drive the van to bring the people in, it's honorable, whatever it is. If they say, I need you to sing a song and I need you to be a song leader today, do we look at it as honorable? He said, all of it is honorable, every good work. Do I look at it as honorable? Sisters, when they ask you to teach the kids in the Bible school class, is it honorable to you? He said, all to him, all of it is honorable in the house of the Lord. When we serve in the food and we feed it not only those in the body of Christ, but those outside, is it honorable? I take it seriously. This is honorable and we ready, we training and we ready to be called upon. If he called on you for the Tuesday morning conference call, you ought to be ready to go. It's honorable. Amen. Is that how we look at it? Serving the door. When you work at the door, is it honorable? The Bible says in Psalm 84, verse number 10, he said, for a day in thy court is better than 1,000 anywhere else. He said, for I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. It's honorable to him. Is it honorable to you to serve in the house of the Lord? Are you ready for every good work? He wants Timothy to understand this. I need you to understand it because that's going to change the approach. That's going to change how we look at this. That's what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself. This is on you. For godliness. I need to put away this foolish stuff. I can't spend too much time there. That's the wrong direction. I need to go in this direction because I know how much this is going to benefit me. My understanding is right now. I understand this is going to benefit me. You know, when you're going out to the gym and you're working out, some of them, they hate when they miss. Come on now. You got a routine going and you into it and you're really good. I miss the gym. But do we hate when we miss Bible study? Do we hate when we miss? I'm just saying that this is what he wants them to see. Some of them, they working out, they real serious about their workout, and they hate when they miss. Do we hate when we miss, when we going in this direction? Write this down. Write this down. We must become even more spiritually minded. He's not saying Timothy's not spiritually minded. He know that he grew up with the Holy Scriptures to make you wise unto salvation. He told him to lay hold of. He's not saying Timothy not spiritually minded, but he wants him to become even more spiritually minded. I want to become even more spiritually minded. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I need to be transformed. This is something I need to do, not allow the world to conform me. Amen. I want to stay in this word. I want to stay around the members, these members that's teaching me and encouraging me to do right. Stay in prayer. I want to continue in this word because I know how valuable it is, because I want to be transformed into a vessel of good use. And so I need to be ready. And so I need to now stay with this thing and keep purging myself. Listen what he says, Romans chapter 8, 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. This is my attitude, my character, my behavior. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on Spirit is life and peace. It's peace in this. It's a benefit from it. They told me, when you go to the gym, you exercise, you work out, it's going to reduce the stress. That's what he told me. He says, going to lower the high blood pressure. You're going to start feeling better and everything. But when you set your mind, when you set your mind on godliness, amen, you set your mind on God, you're going to start, the peace of God going to come onto you. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, listen, I'm giving you a peace that passes all understanding. It's going to be a benefit to you. Amen. Somebody, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a rest. It's a peace that he's going to give us. Amen. Somebody. That's why I want to stay spiritually minded. I want to become more and more spiritually minded. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Our path should be getting brighter and brighter. You know, in the early morning, the crack of dawn, but as the day goes, it gets brighter. He said, this is the path of righteousness. My path, more enlightened, even more spiritually minded, even more knowledge. It's not to sit back and be dull. If my path is getting darker, I'm on the wrong path. If my path is staying the same, I'm on the wrong path. He said the path of the righteous, it should become brighter and brighter and brighter. He got enough to give you. He can keep feeding you long as we can keep eating. Amen. He got enough for us. The path, it should be getting brighter. I want to become even more and more spiritually minded. He wants Timothy to understand the significance, the importance, the value, and spiritual training for godliness, because that's going to change how we approach this thing. As soon as it hits. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Every way. He said it's valuable in every way. in every area of our life. Listen, write this down. I want us to write this down. Point two, we all have areas of our lives that need work. We all have areas of our lives that need work. Amen.
Amen.
When I went there and I went to the gym and I got the personal trainer and we sat down, we made out a list. He said, what areas you want
to work
on? What areas? He said, we got machines in here. They got machines in here that work out any area you want to work. They got machines to your neck, muscles in your neck, your shoulders, triceps, biceps, your wrists, abs, thighs, calves, whatever. He said, what? We got it in here. What area do you need to work on? Well, you know, we got some areas that we need to work on. But that's say just like in spiritual training, there are some areas that we need to work on. If I'm training for godliness, for a godly behavior, we all have some areas that need to be worked on. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Listen what Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us to his own glory and excellence. He's given us all things, whichever subject, whatever you're dealing with. There's nothing you're dealing with God cannot address. He's given you all, whatever area in your life that needs it, he got a machine for it. Y'all all right?
Amen.
We got something for it. Whatever we're dealing with in our life, he's given us everything we need. To pertain life. Oh, I'm in there. The guy that in the gym, he told me, he said, we got everything you need. What you need to work on. But God got everything we need. It don't matter what the area is. And we all dealing with something. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Listen what James said. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. James chapter 1, 13 through 15. He said, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Everybody has something. You know, I used to limit this right here to sexual immorality, to drunkenness. That's what I used to read this, enticed. But some of us don't know how to bridle our tongue.
Okay. All right.
The scriptures say we need to learn how to bridle our...
Amen.
Some of us don't know how to forgive. We don't have the unforgiveness. You know, we need to... We're dealing with something in that area, unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Some of us complaining and murmuring all the time. We can't do anything without complaining and murmuring all the time. We got some areas that we need to deal with.
Yeah.
Bridling my tongue.
Yeah.
Sometimes the temptation will come in the form to let watch it. He finna go off.
Yeah.
Put him in a situation, put her in a situation, she and then devil just laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cursing and blessings coming out the same mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of us have some areas that we need to work on.
Yeah.
In this spiritual training for godliness, we need to recognize. Let me see, recognize what areas do I need to work on?
Mm.
Brother, when I'm going to this retreat, it's not a retreat, he called it a spiritual boot camp. I'm going with the intent. To get everything, I'm going with the intent, with the mind, but whatever's in it, I'm gonna try to get, because I know I'm gonna try to get something out of this thing. I'm gonna try to see, well, how can it help me work on the areas? I'm not going to just lay back. We going now, this is how Paul wants Timothy to take it. I need you to understand the significance in training for godliness, so you're gonna take it seriously. When I go to the gym, I don't play. When I'm going to gym, I'm going to put some work in. When you go to the gym, you're going to get on that machine. You're going to put some work in. So when we go on this spiritual boot camp, we're going to put some work in. Because I want to see what areas is going to help me. Because we all have areas that we need to take care of. Amen? And some people don't recognize the areas that they need help in. Some people may not know. Brother Murphy, they may not be aware. They may say, well, I bridle my tongue and I forgive and I don't have, you know, and they bless their heart. I got something for them. I got some. Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Psalm 139, 23, 24. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. That was a tough one for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have some thoughts I don't know. I don't know if I say that prayer all the time. Then what he said, see if there be any grievous, some translations say offensive way or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So that's your prayer. If we're going on this spiritual boot camp and you may not know what area, or you or everybody who's training for godliness, you may not know, this is your prayer. Search me, reveal it to me. Let me know what areas that I need to work on, because we all need to work on some areas. So it's no excuse. We all have something to do. We all can train for godliness. If you don't know what area to be training on, this is you right here. And he'll reveal it to you. Get on your knees. Lord, show me. If I have any offensive way, let me know. Bring it to light. So now I know where I need to work on and deal with. Amen, somebody? The benefit. Paul wanted Timothy to understand the significance. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8 and 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. He wants him to get it. You can take this to the bank. You can count on this. He said it's promising this. There's a promise that comes along with this. Amen, somebody? When I went to the gym and the personal trainer, he told me, he said, if you eat like this and if you follow this schedule that we laid out, I guarantee results. I said, whoa, wait a minute now. This is what he said. I'm just going by what he said. He said, if you eat like this and you discipline yourself and you follow this routine, I guarantee you're going to see some results. If you do this, you're going to see, this is what he told me, guaranteed it. Paul is giving us, he's saying now, he's giving him a guarantee. This word holds promise. If you spiritually train for godliness, there is a guarantee. There's a blessing in this. Write this down. There is a blessing in spiritual training for godliness. It's a blessing in this. He wanted him to understand that. I need you to understand this. James said, James chapter 1, verse 25. Said anyone who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persist, continue therein, stick with it. He said, not being a forgetful hearer, not one who forgets, but one who does, who acts on the word, who applies the word to his life. He will be blessed in his doing. Will be blessed. If I apply this word to my life, when I'm going there, I'm going and whatever word they're giving, I'm going to look and see what can I apply to my life, because I know I'm going to get a blessing out of it. I'm going with this in mind. I'm going to get a blessing out of this thing. Does the word say it? Because I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to be fully invested. I'm going to be fully committed. I'm going to stick with it because I know it's a blessing in it. I remember Jesus teaching to a crowd of people in Luke chapter 11. And a woman lifted up her voice and said, Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. While Jesus was speaking these things, a woman raised her voice and she said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which you have nursed. And she was trying to get honor, put honor on the one who gave him birth. But in Luke chapter 11, verse number 28, Jesus says, yea, rather, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Who hear the word of God and apply it to their life. He said, that's honor. That's a vessel of honorable use. Yeah, that's all right. He will use you. He said he will be a vessel for honorable use. Jesus wanted the sister to know. Now listen now. He wanted her to know. Listen, the honorable use, if you apply this word to your life and you diligently seek after and pursue it, he said you will be blessed. There's a blessing in this word. Jesus says to his disciples, John chapter 13, verse 14 through 17. John chapter 13, 14 through 17. He said, if I then your Lord and teacher wash your feet, he said, you should also wash one another's feet. He said, for I have given you an example that as I have done to you, you should do to one another. He said, I'm giving you an example. He said, truly I say unto you that the servant is not greater than his master. Neither the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If Jesus can wash feet, you can wash feet.
Amen.
He said, verse 17, he said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's a blessing in this word. If I spiritually train for godliness, it's a blessing in it. It's a guarantee. As James said it, Jesus said, they're saying it's a guarantee I'm going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. If you focus on this spiritual training to live the way God would have us to live, it's a guarantee it's going to be a blessing in it. Y'all all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
God told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, he said, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may be careful to do, observe to do all that is written in. You want to be careful to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. He said, it's a blessing in it. If I train myself, not just to read it, Brother Vincent, I read my Bible. Not just read it, but do I take what I read and I apply it to my life? That's the spiritual training for godliness, not just reading it. Some say, oh, I'm spiritual training for godliness and I just read all night. He said that we got to do it now. We got to put it. The blessings come when we become doers of the word and not hearers only. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, for they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment. Watch this. Be careful now. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment. They may look like they're prospering now. They may look like they're standing now. They may look like they're getting away with it now. But he said the ungodly will not be able to stand in the judgment. Neither will the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord know the ways of the righteous, and the ways of the ungodly shall perish. There's a blessing in this. I'm going with the intent, with the approach to get everything I can from it. To study it, to learn it, and to apply it to my life. This spirit, and take it seriously. Just like we go into the gym. Take it seriously. He said it has promise not only in this life, but also in the life to come. Amen. Listen with what he leaves him with. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul leaves Timothy with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. He said, I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall award to me on that day. Amen. But he said, not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing, for all those who look forward to his coming. See, Paul is not competing for my crown. I'm not competing for Paul's crown. We're not competing against one another. Amen. It's a crown laid up for Paul, but Paul said there's a crown laid up for you, and there's a crown laid up for me. I'm doing the best I can. I'm striving. I'm pressing toward the mark, not to compete with anybody. But I want to be good for the master's use. I want to be a vessel of honorable vessel, good for the master's use, ready for every good work. We want to be ready for every good work. And there's a crown laid up for you. There's a crown laid up for me. He wanted him to understand. Spiritual training. Let me get that. That last slide, spiritual training for spiritual transformation. We ready. Are we ready? We ready. We ready. We ready to go. Spirit, if we want to be fully transformed, we fully committed. We fully invested in this spiritual training. Amen. And we ready. We ready for every good work. We ready to be called upon. Huh? When Brother Gary called you, we ready. We ready. We ready. Amen. On short notice. If you're there today, and if you listening and you watching, and you say, I want to be in the house of honor, I want to not just only be in the house of the Lord, but I want to be a vessel of honorable use. But there's a way that we do this thing. There's a way. God has given us his instruction into his righteousness. First, we got to hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say faith come by feelings. Some people say, well, Vincent, I just don't feel like God is going to let all them go to hell. Well, I can't put my salvation on your feelings, because you may feel one way today and you may feel another way tomorrow. So it doesn't say faith come by feeling. It says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to see what does God have to say about it. And then we got to believe the word of God. John chapter 20, verse John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We have to believe it. We have to believe it. And then we got to be willing to repent, to turn away from a life of sin and live. Try this godly training to live a life how God would want us to live. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, for the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slow to his promise. We want to know, when is Christ returning? He's not slow, but he's gracious. He's merciful. But there is a day set. There is a day of judgment set. Tomorrow is not promised. So we want to commit to this. We want to repent. We got to hear, believe, repent, and we got to confess it. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. We got to open up our mouth. I believe that God sent his Son, that he died on the cross for my sins and the death, burial, and the resurrection. Him dying on the cross represents the love of God. For God has shown his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was love hanging on the cross. But the resurrection represents his power. He said, no man take it from me. I lay it down on my own and I have the power to bring it up again. See, he's demonstrating. God is demonstrating. I'm going to show you my power. I'm going to show you how much I love you and I'm going to show you my power. So the death, burial, we preach the death, burial, and resurrection, the love of God and the power of God. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then we got to be baptized. The commission, what he told them, the great commission to the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even into the end of the ages. He said, teach them to observe all of it. We don't have the luxury, the benefit, or the option to teach some of this. We got to teach all of it. That's what he said, teach all of it. I can't leave this out and leave that out. He didn't give us that option. Teach all. And just like on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that death, burial, and resurrection, and they were pricked into their hearts, and they want to know, what do we do about what we've heard? Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, this is what Peter's response was. This was his response. Acts 2 and 38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This was his response to the question, why would I respond any other way? Why won't we respond how the Bible respond to the question? What shall we do? This is his response. This is how we respond. And then we got to remain faithful unto death. Amen?
Amen.
Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. We all going to go through something. We may not go through the same thing. He said, some of you. He said, some of you may be tossed into prison. We all going to deal with something. But he said, be thou faithful unto death and I'll give you a crown of life. When I look at this, this is about loyalty. This is loyalty. Some of us more loyal to some no good friends. We loyal to some family. Yeah, we some of them going to jail behind being loyal to some no good. Ooh, they loyalty just run deep. I'm like, I want to be loyal to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter what happens, be loyal. Listen, if you're listening and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe death, burial, and the resurrection, you want to be baptized for the remission of your sin, you let these brothers know, get in contact, let them know. Amen. And then when you come into the body of Christ, you want to be a vessel of honorable use, ready for every good work. Amen. You want to become more and more spiritually minded. You want to work on those areas that need to be worked on. And you know that there's a blessing in this. We're not training for nothing. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
If you need prayer, you can come down while together we stand and sing.